Blog Talk Radio.
Quiet.
Fat pig, dog, slob.
It was the single biggest one.
I'm back!
Back to another installment of Revolution Radio with your hosts John Arbor and Jacob Davis. As always, you guys can call in at the phone number 646-787-8249. That's 646-787-8249. And any of our listeners out there that are on Twitter, you can follow us at RevRadio2. That's at RevRadio2. Today we will be talking about yesterday's elections and what they mean. And is Ted Cruz the Mormon's chosen savior?
Yeah, this is a momentous time we're living in, John. I mean, prophecy is being fulfilled as we speak. I mean, Glenn Beck just wasn't just talking out his rear end. I mean, look what happened in Utah. The Constitution's hanging by a thread, and the Mormons have united. So it's just a great time to be around.
Yeah, I was looking at Glenn Beck on Facebook today, and according to him, the Utah is the biggest victory of any candidate in the election.
Yeah, well, you got to hand it to Ted Cruz. He won 69.2% of the vote. That's pretty impressive. Kasich came in second.
He won 40 delegates. He only won 40 delegates, and Trump won 58, so Trump increased his lead, so I wouldn't call it the biggest victory of any candidate. Well, being the biggest victory of the day.
This is a title shift in the campaign, John.
You're
missing it. This is a new leg in the election.
We're going northeast. Going to swing right back to Trump.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you haven't been swayed yet, but I'm not usually one that they get swayed by endorsements, you know. But I have to say, the way Jeb Bush endorsed Ted Cruz, I might have to give him a second look. I mean,
Jeb, please clap.
Please clap, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, if there was any doubt before that Ted Cruz is just a disciple of the Bushes, the Jeb Bush endorsement pushes it over the top. I guess both Neil Bush and Jeb Bush's endorsement.
And isn't Neil his financial advisor?
Yeah, he's like the financial, some financial guy on the campaign, one of his financial, I don't know the exact title, but it's just another delay in the inevitable of Trump's nomination.
Yeah, but remember, everybody, Trump is the establishment candidate, so not Ted Cruz. Have fun with the cognitive dissidence, but it's Trump that is the establishment's choice. Ignore Bush, ignore Lindsey Graham,
ignore Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney.
Ignore the three wise men of the establishment.
Yeah. They're really, Trump is the one you got to watch out for. He's the one that's bought and paid for. So, yeah,
just,
so that was pretty big news. I saw it coming, though, from a mile away.
The Bush endorsing. I wonder what's going to happen with Scott Walker. I think
Scott Walker in Minnesota.
Wisconsin. I think it's an interesting case because he dropped out way early because he saw the writings on the wall that Trump was a steamroller. And he begged other people when he dropped out to drop out so they could stop Trump. I don't know if he'll endorse anybody. I think he'll just hold out his endorsement.
Yeah, we have holdouts. Rubio's holding out.
Yeah.
Scott Walker's an interesting case. I mean, so much promise coming into the election. I heard a lot of people talking really good about Scott Walker. Then he was on the debate stage, what, once maybe? Twice,
yeah, once
the
Trump
most?
Came and Scott Walker went away.
He went away fast.
He dropped out because he said that more people need to drop out and narrow the field so Trump wouldn't gain momentum. And I think because people didn't, I think he'll just withhold his endorsement. We'll see. He didn't call Trump by name, but
yeah, I don't think he's gonna go for Trump though. They're all gonna end up siding with Cruz.
Yeah, but I think it's too late at this moment. It's definitely too late if Trump wins Wisconsin in 2 weeks. If Trump wins Wisconsin in 2 weeks, there's no viable path for any other candidate at all. Because after Wisconsin, what's left? Northeast, Indiana, the West Coast, and some little states in Cruz land with the Mormons, like Nebraska and those things.
Yeah. It must be nice to be John Kasich. There's little things like votes and delegates. They don't matter. You just keep going.
It's because John Kasich, he's in Common Core math. He likes Common Core.
So does Jeb, I think.
Yeah.
But usually what the Republicans do is they rebrand it by a different name. And they say, I don't like Common Core. I like my copy of Common Core that I've installed.
But the delegate count right now is 725, I think. I don't know. I was on Green Page.
I'm seeing 739.
No, it's 755 is the actual count. They're not including the Missouri things. No one's recounting anything in Missouri. No one's counting votes. Trump won Missouri, and they're not counting those in there. But right now, it's 755 to, I think, 469. Or something like that. It's the actual count. You can go to greenpapers.com and they have the actual count on there. They update it every day. Like, if they put too many over, the next day they'll update it and take them off. But they actually keep it up to date. They're not like the other news, like the news organizations that aren't counting stuff that's already been voted to try to hold out some hope that they can make this last longer than it actually is. But the actual count is 755. So right now, Donald Trump needs around 480 votes, 480 delegates right now.
And he needs them because I don't think he's going to get it if he doesn't get 1237.
I just don't see how they could stop him if he's at 1230.
Well, if he's at 1230, he's not at 1237. We'll say he didn't make it.
I don't see if he's at 1230. There's 155 party chairmen and different people. Like each state has three or something like that. And there's three national. There's 153, I think.
They're free? They can
go any way. I just can't see if he's at 1230 that seven of the 153 won't go for Trump just – because they know if he's at 1230 and they don't give him the nomination, the Republican Party's over.
Well, if he's that close, maybe something will happen. But I'm almost thinking 100% of those free delegates are going to go to Ted Cruz, and all of Marco Rubio's are going to go to Ted Cruz. And once the delegates are free in the second round or third round, there's going to be a lot of pressure to get away from Trump. So I think the only secure way is to actually get the number. But it's still possible.
Yeah.
He still has a clear path.
He has to win 50.5% of the remaining vote. I did the math of the delegates. They keep saying on Fox News 55%. I'm thinking, where are they getting this number from? So I pulled it up. It's not 50.5. It's 51.5. If he wins Wisconsin, it's 50.5. So With the winner-take-all states going, last night he won 60% of the delegates, Donald Trump did. So he outpaced it. But they keep saying 55 all day today. I kept hearing 55, and I'm like, that's not the number. They must be using Common Core as well. But if he wins Wisconsin, that will put him at 797. And then what's the next state? New York? He's going to win New York. That's 91. So that's 91 if he gets over 50%, and I'm confident he will. Even though last night on O'Reilly, I don't know if you saw it, Ted Cruz claimed that he was going to win New York, and O'Reilly goes, that's Trump's home state. And he goes, yeah, but they don't like Trump because he took money from politicians, these liberal politicians, and O'Reilly goes, come on, Ted, knock the nonsense out. You know he took money, he gave money to these people so he could get zoning rights for his business. Quit trying to make this out to be a big deal. Everybody in New York knows it. Everybody in the nation knows it. And Ted Cruz was like, but. I mean, he completely, like, blew Ted Cruz up. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I really think for Ted Cruz, he needs to drop that line. It only works on the Cruz bots. I mean, we all know that's part of his appeal. I just don't think he gets it. It's part of his appeal that he's open and honest about the corruption and wheeling and dealing in Washington, and that he was a part of it. But he has no ties to it now, and he could be one that wouldn't be influenced by it. The only one.
Yeah, not to mention, you want to start talking about stuff. How about Ted Cruz? You took pretty much interest-free loan from Goldman Sachs to start your Senate campaign. Well, you don't talk about that. You don't talk about this, the stuff that he's enslaved to the big banks and the big oil. He doesn't talk about that because if people really start looking into who's financing him, all of a sudden you look and you see the same people who financed the Bushes are financing Cruz. So he's not this anti-establishment superhero that Glenn Beck and the Cruz people make him out to be. I mean,
well, yeah, if you can believe that doesn't influence anything he'll do, then fine, go for it. But at least at this point, you don't have to worry about that with Donald Trump. I mean, he is what he is. He's doing his own thing. I mean, he doesn't have any reason. He can't be bought off, really.
And then we have the whole terror attack yesterday in Brussels. And you look at all the candidates that everybody's talking about. Oh, people don't trust Donald Trump. I've heard them say people don't trust Donald Trump on security of the nation. Who doesn't trust Donald Trump on security of the nation? He probably has the most hardline stance on it.
Yeah.
I mean, look who's
hardline, but most likely effective. I mean, what was his response when they captured that Paris attacker? Waterborne him, find out what he knows. Maybe that could have helped Brussels. Or maybe not, but I mean, why wouldn't you think that trust him with security?
And it's not only that, like, look what he said in January. I think it was on January 22nd or 27th, one of those dates. He was doing an interview and he said, I went to Brussels years ago. It was a beautiful, wonderful place. Not anymore today. They're in real trouble. And he basically predicted this was going to happen 2 months before it happened.
He doesn't want that coming here either. I just don't understand. Is it a humanitarian thing that you want a whole bunch of Islamic refugees to come here? Or, I mean, because it's obviously, if you're worried about security, I mean, what positive benefits does that do? So
I can tell you right now, if you don't mind the Brussels terror attack, go ahead and cast your vote for Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, because that's what will happen if we have those two, for sure. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even a John Kasich. They don't think he's a lot different than either one of those two. Ted Cruz, not so much, but enough will happen because he's in with the power elites and the global elites who allow this stuff to happen. He can say, oh, this, he could talk a hard game. He could say he's he's stronger than Donald Trump on border security. But I never saw Donald Trump on the border with Glenn Beck handing out soccer balls and teddy bears to these illegal immigrant kids coming over like Ted Cruz was about a year ago. Never saw Donald Trump down there doing that. So this is stuff that happened with Ted Cruz. And all these Ted Cruz people are like, oh, he's stronger on the border. No, he's not. He was handing out gifts. He was saying, hey, come here, we're going to give you a soccer ball and a teddy bear. Come on over. Him and Glenn Beck.
Yeah, but he's stronger on the border. He's strong. He's always stronger. He's not the one that sticks his neck out, you know, and takes the slings and the arrows. But he, after that's passed, then he sticks it out and goes, I'm stronger than that guy on all these things. But Ted Cruz is taking some arrows today for his comments about patrolling Muslim neighborhoods or communities or something.
Yeah, which not that big of a thing. And his whole thing about, he keeps talking about carpet bombing, and he's taking that too, because we haven't carpet bombed since when? The Second World War? Vietnam?
Yeah,
maybe?
And I don't know if carpet bombing is the best way to go. I mean, these people are held up in cities, school kids, all sorts of people there. I mean, if you think it's best for the protection of the country, you have to do horrible things in war, but the idea just to go to carpet bombing them, I don't know. That's pretty hardcore.
And it's just, I just want to know what this Mormon prophecy is still. I haven't been able to find out what it is.
I looked it up. All right. It's not 100% known if it was Joseph Smith that said it, but shortly after it, people knew about it and everything. What it is in the end times, or at some point, that the Constitution will be hanging by a thread. And that is when this is where it gets complex, because either the Mormon people will rise up, or the Mormon elders, or someone will rise up with the support of the Mormons to restore the country. But there's different ways you can take the White Horse prophecy, because it refers to the White Horse of Revelations, which I believe is the horse that conquers. So Mormons conquering to save the Constitution, that can sound kind of weird. And then the lighter way to interpret it is it's peaceful, and they just do it peacefully. But it is about the White Horse of Revelation. So now the Mormon Church says it's not a prophecy. So actually Glenn Beck is on the fringe.
Well, we know Glenn Beck's on the fringe. He's Glenn freaking Beck. Have you listened to his radio show lately?
Yeah. Even his co-host a little bit like, disagreeing, because Glenn Beck's all upset because they called Arizona when there were still people in line voting. And I think it was Stu or somebody was like, well, it still wouldn't have changed the outcome. I mean, over 20 points. But Glenn Beck's not thinking like that. He's thinking like somebody that is dyed in the wool, this full supporter, hard, you know, when you're that much of a supporter, facts don't really matter, and you'll twist everything. So
I did see a report about Utah, though, about a guy who he wrote, I don't know where I saw it, he wrote in somewhere, he had been a Republican county chairman for 6 years previous to this, and he went to his caucus site, and he said he'd never seen anything like this. There was no organization, anything. And then when they handed out the ballots, they handed out, like, take your test and pass one back style. And at the end, he was in the back. He ended up with 50 ballots. I mean, that's not the way it's supposed to be run. So he sat and he wanted to watch the process after everybody turned in all their votes and everything. They started counting. Everybody had left, and he was sitting there watching. And he said they brought in envelopes of ballots. And he asked, what are those? And I said, well, these are the absentee ballots. And he goes, is that the way it's supposed to be done? He said, oh, this is how it's always done. And him being a county chairman of the Republican Party for 6 years, said that they count the absentee ballots in a completely different location that there's no way those were the absentee ballots. And so he thought, oh, maybe it's just this one precinct. So he went over to his friends, one of his friends at another caucus after he was done there. Said the same thing happened there. So, I mean, that someone who was a chairman for the county, a Republican county chairman for 6 years is pretty
big of a, you know,
of a sort.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that too, but there's no way that Cruz wouldn't have won.
No, I'm not
saying
that.
Got past 50%.
He might not have got past 50%.
Maybe they really wanted to make sure.
Yeah. And then the online voting is just another thing in Utah. The whole caucus setup is outdated. It needs to go away.
Yeah, I don't like it. But it doesn't surprise me, Ted Cruz in Utah, Ted Cruz in Iowa. These type of people.
And then you have Pennsylvania coming up. Pennsylvania is another interesting state. It's winner take all, but it's a loophole primary, which the winner takes all the state delegates statewide, but each district delegate is a person that's elected on the ballot, and they're not bound to any candidate. So of the 71, I think 54 of them are unbound. They're just people that are elected and can just vote any way they want to, which I feel like that. They usually go with the state, you know, they usually go along with who the state voted for, but I feel like that's kind of a corrupt process, you know?
Yeah, I don't like any of that. It's ripe for corruption. Oh, maybe some favors for your delegate. It should be primaries, and that's all the delegate should be. Winner, you know, you can have a couple in the beginning proportional. You know, to make the race interesting, like the first quarter, the first third. But then after that, winner take all, and whoever wins.
Yeah, I mean, let's look how it's done on the president. I think it should be a mirror of the presidential race. When the presidential race, whoever wins the state, it's by one vote, gets all the electoral college. Does it not? I just think we should mirror that.
No, I don't like the Democrats with their superdelegates. I don't even think the party officials should get special votes. Aren't they the party of the people? They should do what the people say. You know?
But we have this coming up, and I just don't understand these Ted Cruz people that put so much faith in them. I'm supporting Donald Trump, but I don't have undying support to Donald Trump. I mean, at this point, a lot of these Ted Cruz people, like Ted Cruz could be murdering babies off the balcony, and they'd be like, oh, that's fake. That didn't happen. It's like the news cameras there videotaping it right now. That's not happening. It's all lies.
Well, that's what they say about Donald Trump supporters. If he could shoot somebody, we'd all still support him.
Because he made a joke that he could shoot somebody. It was a joke.
Yeah, only if he has a good reason.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of ways that Donald Trump could. There's a lot of ways that Donald Trump could lose me. You know, if he started talking about clamping down on freedom of speech or the Second Amendment, or, you know, all sorts of different things. And I don't have any grand illusions like, oh, no matter what, Donald Trump is going to have the best in 4 years. We'll be the richest country all, you know, no matter what. I think we have the best chance of going to those things with him. But he's not a savior or anything like that. I sometimes am amazed that I like Donald Trump because the idea sounds ludicrous, like especially the first time you heard about him running and stuff or thinking about supporting him is like, Donald Trump? But of all the candidates, I don't think there's any choice, at least not for me.
And I love the argument they make that he's not constitutional. How is Donald Trump not constitutional? I've yet to really have any, like, qualms with the Constitution and Donald Trump.
No, well, he's gonna run the country like a dictator. And where did they get that? What did he say? I know.
He said he's gonna make deals. Ted Cruz is the one that says he's not gonna budge. Ted Cruz is the one saying he's not gonna make any deals.
I don't quite get where they say dictator. I just don't quite get that. Ted Cruz is going to get rid of Obamacare and all the executive actions. I think Donald Trump will do that stuff, and that's all in their purview as the president. I haven't seen anything. Oh, well, you know what I think it is? It's when he says stuff like, we'll bring back waterboarding, right? They think, well, that's not the president's choice. He doesn't get to decide that.
I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure the reason we got rid of it was an executive order.
If it is, then it is his choice. And if it's not, then it's not. But what he's doing is he's laying out a pathway or where he'd like to go. He didn't say – he's just plain spoken. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to do it no matter what. But they try to twist it, you know.
What I need to tell people when they get mad about waterboarding, enhanced interrogation, right, and Hillary Clinton, that's all, it doesn't work. Let's put yourself in this situation. You're a father. And you have a 12-year-old daughter, and she was kidnapped by somebody. But you have the person, you have a person in custody that has information where she is. Would you not do the enhanced interrogation to get that information out of them?
Of course. You could do the scenario with the nuclear bomb. I mean, I can see the danger, you know, that people are scared of. You know, if he does that, then we'll all lose our rights and we'll all – but there are certain circumstances where almost anything is called for. If there's a nuclear bomb about to go off, I don't care what they do. I don't care if it's an American citizen. Certain things, you have to get the information. And they say, oh, it's not reliable. I don't buy that. I mean, if you're just willy-nilly torturing people, yeah, you can get them to admit to anything like the Spanish Inquisition. But if you got a guy and you know he's the head of some organization, I'm sure there are interrogation tools that get him to open up. Also, went back with Donald Trump as a dictator because he says these things like he wants to do stuff, and they say, well, that's not your thing. Couldn't you say the same thing about Ted Cruz when he gives you his tax plan? I'm going to get rid of the IRS. Well, you can't do that, Ted. Are you trying to be a dictator? No, because we don't have that double standard for him.
The thing with the IRS, is a private organization. It's not a government. And the government contracts out taxes to them. So it's not so much like who's going to count the money? Who's going to do your tax? Who's going to count the tax money, Ted?
Yeah, that's the thing. You'll just send a postcard. All right, well, who's in charge of collecting postcards? And who's in charge enforcing when the postcards are filled out incorrectly? You got to have the same system. You're going to have – maybe you'll have it in the Department of the Treasury or something, but it's going to be the same thing. Just say what you mean. You want to do a flat tax. It's not going to happen, but some people are, find that appealing. But you're not getting rid of the IRS. Like we're not going to have federal income tax.
But the Republican Party doesn't understand that the flat tax – all that does is it hurts the lower class. And the lower class hears this. They're not paying taxes right now. Now they're going to be paying 10% or whatever. And it hurts the lower middle and the lower. I don't know if there's a cutoff on Ted Cruz's flat tax. I haven't researched it. I'm sure there is. But all they're hearing is I'm going to have to pay 10% now or whatever the number is. And this guy who makes $1 billion is only going to have to pay 10%. And 10%
yeah,
of...
But,
I know, it's fair. I'm not saying it's not fair. And in the ideal, just like socialism, in the ideal world, that would be the best way to do it. But we don't live in the ideal world. We have people that are billionaires who can pay a higher percentage and not affect their lifestyle. But someone making $20,000 and have to pay 10% of that, that's a lot of money for them. 10% of
yeah.
$2 billion isn't a lot for a billionaire.
Well, it's a lot.
I mean,
I don't think it's fair, really. Because, okay, we'll take the one thing about if you have $1 billion and you get a tax cut, that tax money you could use to, or, you know, you could use that money to start a business and stuff and give jobs to people. That's great. Now, the person at the very low end of the spectrum, that money is the money he needs for, like, to fix his car to get to work. It's far more imperative to him, that 10%. It's a lot less money, but it's a lot more valuable. Also,
yeah.
I think it's okay to have a progressive tax because if you're a billionaire, say you have $10 billion and you're living in this country, you got houses everywhere, all these things, you know, you deserved it, you earned it, great. But you have so much more to lose for you have so much more to lose if the country went away than somebody making $20,000. So I think you should contribute more. You have so much more a part of the country. So I've always been for a progressive scaled tax. So that's another reason why I like Trump's better than Ted's.
Yeah, I think taxes are too high across the board. We need to cut them. But I'm coming at it that the family that's making $20,000 has to pay $10,000 in taxes now, or 10%, has to pay $2,000. That's food for their family. Now what do they have to do? Now they have to be on food stamps. Now you're making the government deadbeat because of your tax plan. I mean, our tax plan should encourage people to move up, which when you're not making enough money, you want to move up, but it's not always as easy, you know, for some people. Some people don't have a degree. Some people aren't as smart as other people. Some people don't have the physical labor ability as some of other people. I mean, there's people that are stuck making $20,000 because that's all their skill and intelligence and their training is.
And there's still incentive. Say you even had it at 50% at the highest tax bracket. Okay, would you rather have 50% of $1 million or 100% of $30,000 plus we're going to give you $10,000 in child credits? Which one would you rather have? You still would rather have the 50% of $1 million. So, I mean, it doesn't get rid of incentives. And you want to balance it out to have the best incentives. But raising taxes on lower income people, I don't think it's going to help anything. You're just going to be recycling, like you said, with food stamps and other assistance. They're going to have to be on then.
But it's just at a point where Ted Cruz never had to deal with $20,000 a year income. Neither is Donald Trump, but he doesn't have the establishment people in his ear, the oil companies and everybody in his ear saying, oh, flat tax, flat tax. Then you have Mike Huckabee wants to fair tax, which is even worse. 23%, no income tax, but 23% sales tax. In theory, that would be great. In theory, it takes away the taxes that are already built in and the product will be cheaper. But businessman A has been selling his car for $30,000 per unit. He's not all of a sudden going to quit selling it for $30,000 and start selling it for $25,000 because the market price has already been set. So it's just going to increase the overall burden on the lower income people.
Is that sales tax on everything?
Yeah, 23%.
So if you buy land,
23% on everything.
I'm not a fan of that. And also, Donald Trump is around tons of people that actually live outside of the tax system and just live in capital gains tax, the super uber rich. And I'm sure he sees that all the time, you know. And here, you know, the very, very, very top elite, they pay themselves through ways that they don't have to pay income tax. So who has the best chance of eliminating those loopholes? The aspiring politicians and lawyers who've been funded by these elites, or one of them themselves who decided that he wants to run for president and wants to make America great again? And if you think that he's an egomaniac, that's even better, because America doing all that stuff would be great for him. So who else is going to do it?
It's just to the point, and it's just getting ridiculous with these Ted Cruz people. They're pushing Ted Cruz so hard. The national polls coming out have Donald Trump at 46, 47. So much for that ceiling he had. So much for his ceiling. He's up to 46-47% in the latest polls. I mean, Ted Cruz is at 27. He's down 20 points, somewhere in there, 15-20 points. It's funny, these people drop out, and Donald Trump never loses any of his lead. He just goes up, and other people go up too. It's like they just, the people drop out, and the votes are split. And then I saw a thing where the, what was it called? I don't know what poll it was, but they did a thing. If Kasich dropped out, right?
Yeah.
Donald Trump would be ahead 43-36 on Ted Cruz with, I think, 12% undecided, and then 5% would just vote third party or something like that. Or not vote. So, the narrative that Ted Cruz would beat Donald Trump head-to-head is not really the truth.
I would like it to happen so we could actually put this to rest. Because they love holding on to these narratives and butts like, well, Trump won Arizona, but that's because all the early voting went to Rubio. And if Kasich wasn't there.
He expanded his lead when the other voting started to come in. Did you notice that? He went from 45-47. He went up 2 points. So if Ruby wasn't there, he must more than likely would have broke 50 in Arizona.
So, but Kasich, I don't think he's going to be dropping out because he in Arizona, Rubio beat him. Rubio's not even there.
And good old Kasich.
The Soros money keeps flowing in to keep the gas tank full. So.
At this point,
I like
race,
how. Huh?
He's only campaigning in one or two states. He has never ran a national campaign. So.
I like how all the Beck bots, they think that he's actually doing this to help Trump. Like, that's their conspiracy theory.
He's doing it because he thinks that if he can get it to a contested convention, that he will be the nominee. That's why he's doing it. He really believes this.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy.
He's such a nice guy with a bad haircut you can't comb.
Yeah. Well, looks like the Fox News got Cruz pretty close in their latest poll.
Oh,
he's only down
by
3. I told you, it's a new era. Huh?
Yeah, it's Fox News bullcrap. Fox News, every time thing that Fox News polls always have Cruz close, and it never is. When did that come
out? Fox News, that came out, I think, today.
A month ago? For real?
No, this for real, today. New Fox News.
I haven't seen
Trump 41, Cruz 38. Then you got Bloomberg, Trump 40, Cruz 31. And Quinnipiac, Trump up by 14, and the Monmouth, or whatever, up 12.
Monmouth.
And Emerson's got Cruz up by 1 in Wisconsin.
We'll see what happens. Why is my computer going so slow? I'm trying to pull up the polls, and there we go.
You should pull up the Drudge Report. You'll see Glenn Beck on his knees.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah. It's not
Glenn
that
Beck.
Impressive, but... Just please, America. Come on, gang. We have to unite. I wonder if Cruz is Mormon Jesus, is Trump Mormon devil?
I don't know.
Is there a prophecy about an orange horse or something?
Oh, yeah. So I hope Cruz can come back, because actually even the words Trump 2016 is scaring university students. Like, it was written on a campus, and the students are very troubled. They probably have to make a safe space, or they can get
safe
away
space.
From any Trump support. Because Trump support,
work.
I mean, if you're a Trump supporter, you're basically just, you support racism. That's number one. You're probably a white nationalist. Just very xenophobic and angry. That's the key word for you. You're angry. And
I'm
also
not
very smart. No, you're not very smart. You're low information. You fall for the cult of personality. You just want a strong authoritarian leader to tell you what to do. One that slanders and puts down women. He probably hates homosexuals. We haven't heard that yet, but I'm surprised we haven't heard that.
Did you see the reporter who claims he hit on her? Trump hit on her.
Yeah, I did see that.
Did you hear what it was? Like, Trump said, okay, have I answered all your questions? Are we done here? Everything good? She goes, yeah, you've answered everything. And he goes, beautiful, and walked away. I don't think he was calling her beautiful. I was just thinking he was saying, beautiful, we're done. I'm out of here. You know?
Yeah, and even if he did say beautiful, is it sexist to call a woman beautiful? Or maybe it's demeaning. Kind of ridiculous how it's gotten. Oh, did you see that Breitbart? We never really covered it. The Breitbart woman reporter who said that Trump's campaign manager grabbed her arm, threw her to the ground. Did you ever watch the video?
No.
Oh, everybody's got to go watch, look for it. It actually took me a little while. I kept on getting bad videos of it. But, yeah, he goes up there and he, like, grabs the side of her arm. Like, that's it. That's all there is. The rest of it is just a bunch of bullcrap.
I find it funny that Fox News, who is Roger Murdoch, right?
Yeah.
And the Wall Street
Rupert.
Journal, which is also Rupert Murdoch, and the NBC News, Wall Street Journal, which is also Rupert Murdoch poll, right? Months apart, they both have Trump only up by 3. But all the ones in between have Trump by at least 9. You can go to the polling data for. Yeah. I don't trust his polls. I'm sorry. That's the same one, like you go a month before and you get Cruz up by 2.
Yeah. Fox News is establishment. I mean, it's Republican, but they're definitely establishment. Except, I would say, Sean Hannity is pretty good. I think he kind of leans towards Trump a little bit. It's kind of hard because you get so much negativity towards Trump. If they just give him a fair shake, then it seems like they're in the tank for him.
Where did Bloomberg come from? He says there's no Bloomberg polls for a month, and all of a sudden they're doing a poll?
It's getting crunch time. They need to stop the Trump.
It looks like Bloomberg, last time they did the poll, Trump was only up by 4, and Bloomberg, too. Let's look at the Quinnipiac. Let's see what happened in Quinnipiac. They've done some polls. Trump went up in Quinnipiac by 4 points. Cruz went up 9. Let's look at Monmouth. Look at Monmouth. It's 41. So Trump went up 5, and Cruz went up 12. And then the Rasmussen, Trump went up 8, Cruz went up 13. Kasich went up a bunch because Kasich, he was way down there.
Well, when you start at nothing. I wonder what it's like to be a Kasich voter. Just go in there. Think he's a really good guy.
But I'm watching the Trump thing, and it's just shooting up. Trump's just shooting up. Cruz is shooting up, too, but he's so far behind, I don't think he can catch him. I think Trump's shooting up at a faster pace. if you look at the chart.
Yeah, just like yesterday. I mean, Cruz, he made some ground. He got 40 delegates, but Trump got 58, so that's not how you catch somebody. And he needs to win 85 of the outstanding delegates.
85%.
So it's not going to
happen. Oh,
yeah,
this Wisconsin poll. Look at this Wisconsin poll they released. What is that, 70? 71 plus 19. There's 10% undecided, so that's a tie. They're tied in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so you see the Melania thing?
No, I didn't. I didn't see that. I saw, like,
I didn't see it.
I didn't read it.
I think I've already seen the pictures.
What, from her modeling days or something?
Yeah, it's like her laying in a in the Trump's plane. She's scantily clad. You can't see anything. She's just kind of naked. Looks hot. So now that caused a big thing. That's a problem with these super PACs also, because the candidates are supposedly, they don't have any control over the super PACs. So super PACs can do whatever, and then the candidate can be like, well, it wasn't me. And I'm sure they like doing that sort of stuff, but it also poisons. If you have too many super PACs, you're going to poison your own Republican field, because you have people saying just horrible stuff that nobody's accountable to. So it's kind of...
Yeah, it's just... We're to a point where Trump is so far ahead that if the only way you can beat him is by keeping them from getting the delegate number, it's time for you guys to drop out. It's the only way. None of you are going to catch him or pass him. So we need to drop out.
No.
They need to drop out, and they need to come together. It's that we're to that point.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen because Ted knows that he has a really good shot if he can get it to the convention. He has a really good
snake
shot.
Snake oil salesman Ted.
Old lion Ted.
The longer this goes along, the more I dislike Ted Cruz.
I haven't seen him too much lately, but I've been not watching too much politics, mainly just listening to the radio.
I guess it's all, I don't know what it was. I guess something he did yesterday, I don't know if it was the his response to the terror attack or something. I'm not sure what it was, but I guess he used word for word like some speech from the American President movie. Ted, Mr. Cruz.
Oh, lying Ted. And his wife. Trump's about to spill the beans on her. Which is great. I love how he does that.
He released Hillary's nickname. You didn't hear it
huh?
yet? You didn't hear, you know,
no.
how he had low
no.
energy Jeb, little Marco and Lion Ted. It's incompetent Hillary.
Incompetent Hillary? Maybe.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound so catchy off the bat, but we'll see.
Incompetent. That's why he keeps calling her.
Yeah, but back to the spill the beans. Like, I like that technique because you don't actually say anything. You just imply there's something to be found, and then that makes everybody go search and try to find what it is.
Is that what this whole thing was, that he attacked Ted Cruz's wife?
Yeah, what it was is
so
Ted Cruz's
super... So he just said he wanted to spill the beans on her. He didn't attack her.
No, what happened was...
There was no attack.
Ted Cruz's super
PAC...
Or a super PAC that supports Ted Cruz, or whatever how you have to say it, made an ad featuring his Trump's wife, scantily clad, probably talking about family values and do you want this, you know, kind of like besmirching his wife. So Trump went to Twitter. He said, "Be careful, lying Ted, or I'm going to have to spill the beans on Heidi." That's what was said.
So how was he attacking his wife? I don't see an attack there. I see a statement. How can the statement be an attack? An attack would be like, your wife's a fat pig. That's an attack.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
And that's after his wife.
Are we that politically correct now that saying that you'll spill the beans on someone's in that hat?
Well, Heidi, you be careful, Trump, because Heidi's going to run rings around you. Okay. And also, I think it was perfectly justified because he didn't go out and attack her. He's like, be careful. Don't be having your PACs or even people that support you. Make sure it's known that you don't bring in people's family. I mean, that's kind of like an unwritten rule. And his people were starting there, you know, for a good Bible holding Ted, his campaign people are like some of the sleaziest people. Like all the dirty tricks have been from the Cruz people.
Yeah, I would say that reflects upon his character. You can't hold that against Ted. Yes, I can. I can hold that against Ted. Because if you're such a good Christian man, you didn't see Ben Carson's campaign doing that because they reflected his character.
Yeah. So, I mean, all that stuff, all the Cruz thing in Iowa, the voter violation papers,
the Rubio video.
You know, the Rubio video
email,
about him saying that was so stupid, too.
Then the email about Rubio dropping out in Hawaii. And now this.
Yeah.
And did you see the video where Ted Cruz's manager, or whatever campaign manager, supposedly assaulted some protester?
Yes.
You did see that
pulled
one where
his collar?
But the guy was going to go start a fight with somebody and he pulled him back. I mean, that's not assaulting somebody. That's trying to de-escalate a situation. You see the guy turn and start moving towards somebody in a threatening way, and that's a good reaction.
Yeah, imagine you're at like a park or on the side of the road or something, and there's a fight. Some guy's about to go charge some people, and a guy pulls him back. Does everybody turn around and go, hey, what's your problem, man? No.
Yeah. I mean, I posted on my Facebook the other day. It's in 1941 or whatever, when World War II, 18-year-olds signed up for the Army and charged the beaches of Normandy. Today we need our safe place. And it goes, it's like two people that what are they called, bronies? You know, those little pony guys. And I said,
yeah.
If I dressed up like a little pony, I would feel delicate too.
There is a safe space, college students and anybody that are offended. It's called your own home. You can acquire one by getting a job and contributing to society. And then when you're at your own house, you can tell anybody to leave you want. But at the university and stuff, that should be an arena of ideas. You should be hearing all sorts of the extremes and everything in between. But everybody's been so coddled.
This has gotten to the point in America where it's just like,
it's like if somebody comes up to me,
past,
somebody comes up to me and says, I'm a Nazi. I'm interested in seeing how does this person's mind work, you know, I don't like, shut him down, you know, and obviously it's not a good thing because we've all, you know, thought about that and all that, but you want to hear differing ideas. It's interesting. It's intellectually stimulating. So
I just don't understand. And then yesterday, Arizona, I saw, who was it? It was a Democrat talking about it, and it makes a lot of sense. That the Republican is so much wants to stop Donald Trump. I think it was actually Harry Reid. He actually made a lot of sense for once. I mean, I guess broken clocks right twice a day, so.
Yeah.
But he said that the reason that there was such long lines in Arizona is the Republican Party shut down a bunch of precincts because they were trying to discourage voters from showing up to try to lower the voter turnout so Trump wouldn't have such a big victory, which that makes a lot of sense. I mean, they were voting till like 1 in the morning in Arizona. Like, it's 1 in the morning, there's still live shots of people standing in line. Like, really?
Oh, I wondered why they were voting so late. I didn't hear any of that. So that's what Harry Reid said?
Yeah, the voting in Arizona is at 10 o'clock our time, which was 8 o'clock their time. And it's like 1 in the morning, they're still showing lines of people voting. Utah was really that late because the online voting ended at 11. Utah's really that late. Yeah. But Arizona closed at 10 o'clock our time. So we should have had the results come in, but they were still voting. Because they reduced the number of precincts you could vote at, number of different polling places from 200 to 60. So I think it was a direct effort of the Republican Party to suppress the vote. I mean, they're always shouting voter suppression, but I think this actually was.
Yeah. Well, it didn't work. Your online voting.
They didn't realize the Cruz supporters have been dealing with the protesters blocking roads for 2 hours, so 2 hours waiting in line to vote isn't much.
Yeah. So the only hope for Cruz is a brokered convention, or a contested convention, I think that's the word.
He still has a mathematical chance.
Yeah. Mathematically. If an asteroid hits Donald Trump in the head, then he'll probably get the 1237. It's mathematically possible.
Yeah, I think he needs 87% of my calculations when I did it. 87% of the remaining delegates. And if he loses Wisconsin, I think he needs over 100%. He has to win Wisconsin, I'm pretty sure.
I have a feeling he's going to get Wisconsin.
I have a feeling Donald Trump's going to pull out Wisconsin because it's a Michigan-type state. Donald Trump did good in Michigan.
He did.
And I have a feeling this Brussels attack is going to give Donald Trump 5 points in the polls.
You know, it could. He's the one that's speaking out about it.
So, I'm confident in Wisconsin. If he wins Wisconsin, it's over. I mean, he's going to win New York. And I'll go out on a limb. I think he's going to win Indiana. I haven't met too many people that aren't Trump supporters to the fact that we have people here in this area that have went out and bought poster board from Walmart and made homemade Trump signs to put in their yard. Never seen that before.
Yeah, and you're in the middle of the state where I'm at the top of the state, and I see a lot of Trump support too.
I think in Indiana, there's 57 delegates. And New Jersey's 58, New York's 91, so there's what, 200 there, 200 delegates we just named off, three states. He needs 285 more out of all the other states.
California is important, too.
Yeah. I think I really think he's going to have it before California. Like, California's going to end up being in nothing again.
So, of the Cruz supporters that – the Cruz supporters in your life, will they vote for Trump if he's the nominee?
I think they will.
What are they saying?
Nothing really. Like the one comment is that we should change our show name to the Trumpets.
The Trumpeteers.
Yeah, Trumpeteers. That's what it was.
Yeah. We get two female
like
co-hosts.
We're not like the Cruz boss. We if Trump does something wrong, we're going to call him out on it. If he does too many things wrong, he's going to lose our support. But Trump isn't the one being endorsed by Jeb Bush, who they all hate. Let's look at this, okay. Who do they all hate? All the conservatives there. So Donald Trump's not conservative enough. Jeb Bush, one of the top ones. Lindsey Graham.
Yep.
Mitt Romney. John McCain. Those are the people they hate.
Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell really hasn't thrown his support behind anybody. Him or John McCain. But you've seen the people they hate throw the support behind Ted Cruz, and now they love them. Good job. Like I saw to Glenn Beck. That's right, Jeb. You're doing good. Good job, Jeb.
Yeah.
What, Glenn? Oh, we love Lindsey Graham now because he supported Ted Cruz. But the people they held as heroes, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Sarah Palin, Ben Carson, Herman Cain, Rudy Giuliani, they all hate these guys now.
Oh, yeah. They're villainous sellouts.
Yeah.
Sold their soul to the devil.
I don't understand that they can't see everybody they like seem to be supporting Donald Trump. Phyllis Schaefer. I think that's her name. Schaefer. Is that her name? Like the leading lady on conservatism. She's like 90 years old.
I don't know.
All,
I don't know.
All these people that they admire, right, are all supporting Trump. And all these people they despise are supporting Ted Cruz. I mean, it's pretty easy to figure something out.
And they're villains.
Like they're all using Common Core, where twos are threes and threes are twos.
And they're all Judases. They've sold it for 30 pieces of silver. It's like, it's outrageous. But I think most people unify after it dies down for a month or two, and then it's just Hillary and then Trump. You're going to have a lot of people coming back.
I saw a thing where in Quinnipiac, I think it was. I think it was Quinnipiac. Well, I'm not sure. It was that Monmouth. I think it was Quinnipiac. That 57% of the Republican voters want the party to unite around Trump if he has the most delegates at the end, whether he has enough or not.
Yeah.
So, Ted, you broke that ceiling there. 57%, Ted. Means you're on the losing side, Ted.
Yeah, if Ted had 1230, I'd give it to Ted, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If Trump had 1050 and Ted Cruz had 1230, you would say, all right, it was a hard battle, but Ted, you should get it.
Yeah.
I would for anybody, even if it's somebody I didn't like, if the race would have played out totally different. I would say, well, it should probably be the person that got the most, especially if they're that close.
I think it's going to be like Trump. At least at 1230, minimum, somewhere in there. I don't see Cruz above like 750, maximum. I mean, it's not even going to be close.
So, we'll have to see how it all plays out, but they'll do everything they possibly can. Even though some of their little efforts are just like Jeb Bush endorsement. Does that help anybody? Does that help, Ted?
Please clap. I wonder when Jeb Bush endorsed him if he had asked Ted Cruz to clap. Ted, clap. Ted, clap. Go, come on, Ted.
Please.
Ted, I'm endorsing
please
you.
Please
clap. Clap. Please clap. But, yeah.
Please.
Mitt Romney, Jeb Bush. I mean, these are losers that are endorsing Ted Cruz. I don't even think Donald Trump would accept their endorsements because they're losers.
Yeah.
But it's just to the point. And I guess I was reading an article that Little Marco doesn't really like Ted. Ted offered before the whole embarrassment that started really happening, when he really started getting embarrassed, Ted offered him to come over as a unity ticket. Him be Ted's vice so they can knock Trump out, and Marco has refused. He's still refusing. So, I don't think Marco likes that too much.
No, and he's in a real hard place then, because I don't think he likes Trump too much either. I bet you Marco's just really bitter right now at his home.
Yeah.
Really bitter. Betrayed by his masters. And just kind of let to hang out to dry.
Marco's only way forward is to come out and endorse Trump. I'm sorry. How else is he going to regain any of his national political power?
Some kind of deal where the Republicans,
yeah.
They all hate deals. They hate the deal maker, but I'm sure they'll make a deal where Rubio, give your delegates to Ted, endorse him, get over that, and you know what? Next time you run for the Senate, we're going to make sure you get in there again. because you belong with us. Something like that's going to go down.
Yeah, but he's never going to be more than a possible senator. He's never going to be anything more for the rest of his career now. And he has such a bright future. He's been politically ruined because of the establishment. I just don't see how he could go with them. He was betrayed by them.
Yeah.
They didn't have his back. They sent him in there like the Japanese kamikaze pilots to blow up.
Yep, and he blew up.
The only way he can revive his political career is if he endorses Trump. I don't see another way. I know he's still young, and it's like, oh, he's young. Yeah, but Al Gore was pretty young, too, and look what happened to his political career.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain things you can't come back from. You can't come back from turning around from your concession speech to try to fight for the presidency after you've conceded. You've already called and conceded to your challengers. There's stuff like that you can't recover from. And he's been labeled Little Marco. And the rest of his political career, he's going to be Little Marco. The only way to erase that is to endorse Trump and be in his Oval Office somehow of some sort, in a cabinet member or whatever, advisor, or it's the only way he'll be able to erase that mark from his political career.
Yep. I agree that that's a hard mark to get rid of. I think even if everything went good and Marco Rubio was the president someday, people would be whispering in the halls about Little Marco.
Yeah.
It's going to stick with them for a long time. So, you can go ahead.
And the fact that Jeb Bush came out and endorsed Ted Cruz and wouldn't come out and endorse Marco before the Florida election.
They let him out to dry.
If I was Marco Rubio, I'd be mad.
I would be too.
I wonder if he's plotting his political future and seeing, like, the past. He's like, look, and he's like, if I do this, I can be a state senator again. I don't even know if he can be, like, a senator. If he doesn't do something, if he goes along with the establishment, endorses Cruz, I don't think he'll ever be above like a state senator. He might be able to be the Speaker of the House of Florida again.
Maybe. No, but they don't go backwards. They never go backwards. It would be beneath him. Once he's been a illustrious senator of the United States of America, it's going to be too hurtful on his pride to be the state senator of Florida. Oh, they could get him back in. I bet you they can get him back in.
I don't know. How? I think he's been hurt really bad. I think the fact that he started running for president and missed so many votes and kind of just was like not doing his job hurt his perception in Florida first off, and then the Little Marco thing just pushed him over the edge.
That's true. Not going to his votes. He really threw all in on this. It was too early for him anyway. It was too early.
He might have survived not going to his votes if it wasn't for Donald Trump and Little Marco. Might have.
Yeah. And Donald Trump constantly bringing up that he missed all those votes.
And he couldn't even be a dog catcher because of that. I mean, maybe he can be a dog catcher. Maybe that's his next move. Dog catcher of Miami-Dade County.
He'd have his own show. Like you said, Al Gore, he didn't go back to politics, but he made good money. Marco Rubio,
yeah.
Dog catcher. I mean, that stuff's really hit right now. Animal stuff, you'd be on Animal Planet or
he can
all
catch
sorts of
dogs
stuff.
Humanely. Like have hot dogs and be like, here puppy, here's a hot dog.
Like, oh man, they could film it. They could film it from his dad's bar.
Yeah, he can have a big truck. His pickup truck, he can build a big cage, not those little cages, so the dogs can roam around once he catches them. And just throw them and they can play together. In the back of his big pickup truck he was going to drive it. Yeah.
I think it could work. I think it could work. So, Kasich, I don't think he's hurt by anything. His Ohioans love him.
Ohioans. I was looking at the state of Ohio, right?
Yeah.
And I have a feeling Pennsylvania is going to be a big Trump state. They keep talking, Kasich keeps talking Pennsylvania, right? But the whole eastern half of Ohio, like two counties deep from there to the Pennsylvania border, went Trump. Only the eastern part or the western part went. Oh, the western part, like the southern, the south and eastern part all went Trump. And then, like, Cincinnati was like the barrier. The southern part, the Cincinnati part went Kasich, but right there is where it stopped. And that whole eastern part went Trump, too. And from the middle, like, over, all went Kasich. So I'm feeling Pennsylvania and West Virginia are both going to be very strong states for Trump.
Yeah, I agree. I think it looks pretty good for Trump on the way for the rest of the race.
I've been hearing Montana is a strong state for Trump, and it seems like it should be a strong Cruz state.
Yeah, it does.
Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota, I've been hearing are strong states for Trump, and I just don't get it. Like, they seem like strong Cruz states.
That's my initial thought would be, you know, it's just like a Iowa or a Utah. They haven't really had any. Huh?
What do you think is going to happen in New Mexico? Do you think it's going to be like Arizona more landscape? Or?
Yeah, I think you're going to get a little mix, a hybrid of a Utah and an Arizona. But I think it's more Arizona-like, dealing with the border, all those sort of issues. Utah is a very religious, you know, Mormon. That really is most of Utah, it seems. I might be wrong, but that's what it seems like to me as an outsider. Where New Mexico and Arizona have different issues that are higher up on priority. Issues that Trump speaks to a lot stronger than anyone.
And I just don't see Ted Cruz's brand of conservatism playing well in Oregon or Washington State or California.
No.
I could be wrong, but those three states just don't seem like that will play well.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to play well nationally. I think that everybody's really confused thinking that they're going to tear Trump apart. They're going to tear Ted Cruz apart. They've had so much practice with this type of thing. And
what
he's
else
just
they
more
have left
their...
What else could they possibly say about Donald Trump?
I don't know. You have many sites. All they do is try to go through old things and find something. And there's so much available to go through, and the stuff they come up with is pretty lacking and wanting. So,
I mean, what?
What are they
going to
do?
Videos? Are they going to find videos of him raiding, like, stem cells from aborted babies and eating them? Like, I mean, it has to be pretty extreme. They've attacked him so hard. Hitler and Mussolini.
He's an angry, racist Hitler. How much more can you get? Like I said earlier, though, I haven't heard the homophobe thing yet, though. So maybe they're holding that back. He's a sexist. And he's a racist.
Maybe
he's
have a gay guy that's going to be – they're going to release a gay guy out there that says he's Donald Trump's gay lover. That's what it's going to be.
I don't even know if that hurts them nowadays. They probably say they'll have some gay employee that got fired for some reason, and he's going to say it's because he's gay.
But
come on.
I would say the majority of the Trump's employees that are on that level, they got fired.
Yeah.
They weren't fired directly by Donald Trump.
Well, you're not firing anybody because they're gay. Trump's like cosmopolitan, right? They don't have hang-ups over race and somebody being gay. He lives in New York City. You know, he's in the social clubs and the elite of New York City. They don't have issues with that sort of thing. They don't even have issues with you know, the religious stuff just on its own. But with the Muslim thing, especially right now in this time of history, there's a problem. He's identified the problem and he wants to find a solution. And the solution to the problem isn't reminding us how we need to be more compassionate. And it isn't any of those things. So I don't think that the racism thing, it sticks with some people, but I don't think with thinking people or curious people.
I just don't see what else they could unleash on Donald Trump.
Donald Trump's sex tape.
They'd be afraid to do that because of the Hulk Hogan Gawker Award, $115 million plus $25 million in damages, something like that.
Yeah.
So,
huge.
Yeah. Also, Hulk Hogan was the first person ever to wear a bandana in a courtroom.
Yeah, I liked his outfit. $115 million, that seems a little bit excessive to me, though.
And he got like, no, that was just from lost wages and emotional.
Oh,
he got $25 million additional in damages.
Yeah, I know, but is he in that big of a demand for the Hulkster? Is that much he makes
million,
a year?
$140 million.
Yeah. I mean, he shouldn't be making that much money now. Some residuals on his action figures and his Santa movie. But $140 million?
Movie?
Yeah, isn't he like Santa Claus in what, some old 80s movie?
I don't think so.
He's like, I think so.
He was Mr. Mom or something, wasn't he?
He was Mr. Mom, but I think he was also Santa with muscles. I can check it out real quick.
But no, but he was a wrestler. He was still wrestling up until that happened, and they let him go because of different stuff. Like after that was released, he lost his best friend, a lifelong friend. He lost. So you can't put a price on that, Jake.
Yeah, I am right. I know a lot of movie stuff. It's Santa with Muscles. Came out in 1996.
I don't ever remember that movie.
Yeah, you don't really need to see it. It's pretty much what it sounds like. Probably some bad kid's going to – a bad guy's going to steal the kid's presents, and he takes them out.
But I just don't see – they keep saying, wait till Hillary Clinton goes off on him. They're holding this back. The media's holding it back. What is the media holding back?
I know. And why aren't they using it? They love ratings. If you had some bombshell, wouldn't you use it before somebody else could? Hillary Clinton's got nothing. I already know what Hillary Clinton's going to do. She's going to do exactly what she's doing right now. She's going to try to label Donald Trump as a candidate of division and hate and anger. And we need to be a whole country and unify. And he's a scary man. And he's a scary man attacking the first female president or possible president. Isn't that sexist? It's woman's time now. That's all the stuff's going to be.
If she does that, she's going to be eaten alive by Donald Trump.
I know, because it's such a fake argument. It's such a just so easy to make and so easy to break. But I think that's the – huh?
Look what's happened to this to the world in the Middle East under Obama and incompetent Hillary's guidance. She was Secretary of State when all these people came to rise and destabilized the area. She was Secretary of State for Libya. So this is all directly on her. Her foreign policy, he's talking about how she has – this will help her because she has better foreign policy than Trump. Her foreign policy is failure. How is that better?
Her reset having button no with Russia?
Yeah, her having no foreign policy would be better than having a failed foreign policy.
I don't know. It's not something you want to hang your hat on, her foreign policy or any of it. I mean, what her legislative, did she do anything in the Senate? I bet she probably did something about orphans and battered women or something. Something she can troll out.
I don't know. I don't know what her qualifications are. What was her qualifications to become Secretary of State?
She was supposed to win the election in 2008. So that's what her qualification was. It was her turn. And it was her turn because, I don't know, because she was Bill Clinton's wife? And
no, it's
and ever since then they've been plant.
I'm telling you, it was her turn because there's a global elite, and this was their plan. Bush, Clinton, Bush, Clinton, then Bush and Jeb. And then the next one would be, what you call it, Chelsea Clinton.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, I've heard them talking about her running in the future.
Chelsea.
I'm telling you, they want to have like a, not have a monarch like a king or queen, but they want to have the system set up where there are just two families, the Bushes and Clintons, over and over again. And Obama threw it out. This sensational rise. Not Hillary Clinton's off the perch. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Donald Trump's knocked out Bush.
The only thing I can give Hillary Clinton with the foreign policy, and this is a very tenuous compliment, is that she has dealt with these people, and she's been exposed to these different leaders, and she has interacted with them. Where Ted Cruz, I mean, who has he dealt with? Just the Senate?
Glenn Beck. Beck went and gave teddy bears and soccer balls to the illegal immigrants coming across the border.
I mean, Donald Trump's been a bit in a business and at a level where he's dealing with hardcore alpha males and women, you know, the ones that make it up to that level. I mean, they are out to win. They're out to take. They're out to, you know, to devour. And he's dealt with that sort of stuff and come out on the winning side. He knows how to deal with somebody like that. Different kind of job than, say, Putin. But he's dealt with that type of people. Hillary Clinton has been exposed to those type of people, and I think she's dealt with them as well. Not with any good results, but she has. Has Ted Cruz had any experience like that? Other than he gets elected to the Senate?
And he argued before the Supreme Court. Don't forget that.
Yeah, that's not the same. That's all set in rules and in the courtroom. It's a totally different thing than one guy sitting across the table from the other guy, and both of them are trying to take the other guy's lunch and who comes out the best. And we're talking about extreme people that know what they're doing and have histories of doing it. But Hillary's going to be the nominee.
I don't understand the Ted Cruz fascination.
Well,
I wish someone would explain it to me. Ted Cruz done that any Republican solicitor general who had that case wouldn't have done in any of the cases, really.
Yes, he may have done it well, and we're all glad that he did it well. But what did he do? What has he done?
He stood up on the floor for 22 hours and filibustered Obamacare.
That still
and
exists.
Still passed. Still passed. So he failed.
And you move over to Donald Trump, there's things that didn't exist that he wanted to get done and created, and now they exist. He's actually accomplished things. He has a history of accomplishment.
I don't understand the history towards Donald Trump and from the Ted Cruz people. I mean, what policy differences do they really have, that big of policy differences?
I know. They're on the same team, but they don't want them to be on the same team. They make them out worse than Hillary, and that's not going to be constructive. I've never heard
nope.
Have you ever heard Donald Trump ever talk bad about Cruz supporters?
Nope.
I've heard Ted Cruz talk bad about us.
We're coming to the end of the show. They're on every Monday and Wednesday, 8 p.m. Our calling number is 646-787-8249. Anybody out there on Twitter can follow us at RevRadio2 on Twitter, at RevRadio2. Well, as always, we appreciate you listening. We'd love to hear from you guys. Call in, contact us on Twitter, send us a message on our show page. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.
Yep, bye.